It's time now for Optimal Health with Dr. Christopher Calipay. Dr. Calipay is an osteopathic physician, board certified in family practice and chelation therapy, anti-aging medicine. Dr. Calipay specializes in reconstructive and neurotherapy for chronic pain and musculoskeletal disorders. And he's achieved fellowship certification for stem cell therapy. Dr. Calipay's office number in Long Island is 516-794-0404. We will repeat that number throughout the show. Now, here's Dr. Christopher Calipay.
Welcome, friends, and thank you for tuning into the Optimal Health Program today. Hope you're all doing well. As you know, we're going to chat and take your calls here in just a moment at 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222 if you'd like to call in and ask a question. Remember that some of the things that you're thinking about are on the minds of other people and many thousands of other people out there. So if you have a question, we'd certainly love to hear from you. Day to day when I talk to patients, and again, 6 days a week, I've been seeing patients for the better part of 30 years now. I talk to them about, and we certainly ask a lot of questions, and I ask them about what's your plan? What's your meal plan? What do you eat and how do you decide what to eat? What's your exercise plan? A lot of people don't have a plan. So again, the point of asking the question is that we want to get people to create a plan so that they can follow something that'll work to either bring their weight down, get their blood pumping, improve their circulation, burn down cholesterol, triglycerides. You know, what are the things that bother you with your health? Or what are you the things that bother you about the way your body's functioning? Write this down. Put together a list, and let's put together a dialogue as to how to start correcting and changing these things. It's very simple. And a lot of the things that I talk about and suggest are simple ways to help to improve your body. But there's always that first step where you have to document things. Document, how do you feel now compared to when you were 10 or even 5 years ago? And go back 5 years from your present birthday and say, wow, last time I had a birthday, or a few years back, I was able to do this, and I can't do that anymore. Am I the same? Am I different? Is my memory or concentration changing? Have I been doing my exercise? Have I gained some weight? So we want to put together this nice, in a pleasant way, critical review of your body so that we can start to look at and understand things and change things for the better. It doesn't take a lot of effort. It just takes writing down a list of symptoms, and as we talk about how to correct things week to week, making some notes on how those things are changing. So that's one important way to track the problems that you have and to create a mechanism to change them. So we have to create the plan, in quotes, the plan. So, yeah, realistically, we can walk through ideas as to how to improve different parts of your body. And of course, when we do your blood testing, we'll get a great amount of information from there as well, and that'll help us. Phone lines are open, 1-800-848-WABC, if you'd like to do so, call in right now. The website's drcal.net, www.drcal.net. The Garden City office is 516-794-0404, and the Plainview office is 516-433-3232. Okay, phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, let's go first to Rose in the Bronx. Hi there, how are you?
Hello, are you talking to me?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm calling about osteoarthritis of the knees.
Yes.
Would chondroitin or stem cell therapy help?
Well, stem cell, of course, would help because you're using your own cells and you're colonizing the area. And we know through tons and tons of research over many years and many treatments that people will get significant growth and repair of damaged tissue in your body when you use your own cells. But with chondroitin, if you're taking something orally, there's no real proof that what you take orally will be absorbed or broken down or get into your blood and then get to your joint. I don't see how it can. You don't have big blood vessels going to your joint like you do to your liver, your kidneys, your heart, your pancreas. So oral substances, I don't see them getting to the joint and growing cartilage yet. Injecting your own stem cells, which only have one job, to migrate to areas of damage and become those damaged tissues, has a high rate of repair.
My friend lives in the Bronx. Where can he get stem cells? He doesn't have a car.
Yeah, take a look at the website, my website. You can see all the information, some videos on patients who've had it done for arthritis, for MS, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, foot drop and nerve disorder, stroke. You can see all of that. And a lot of people that come either come via train, and they'll get off at the local train stations in Garden City and then take a 1 minute cab ride over. So for the people that don't drive or don't have someone that can drive them, a lot of people can take the train. So, but looking at the website, you'll see a great deal more information that I could take an hour or 2 hours to explain. You'll see patients tell their story, which I think is some of the most compelling information when people describe how bad they're doing, and then from that protocol, how much better they're doing.
I tried to look on the website, and I couldn't get anywhere. I don't know why.
You just got to go to drcal.net. Many people will go to Google first, a big search engine, and then put in Dr. Calipay or drcal.net, and you'll hit the website, and you'll see all the videos and the articles and lots of great info.
I'll try again, and I'll tell my neighbor about the stem cell.
Sure, and tell them about the website, too, drcal.net, and they could learn. And if you're having difficulty, give us a call at the office, certainly during the day, and we'll help you to get on the internet to see all that. So we'd love to teach you. That's the point of putting all the information there.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your call. You're very kind. Have a good day now. Let's go next to Wayne. Hi there. How are you?
Hello, Dr. Cal.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I had two gastric bypasses, one in 2003, one in 2007. I'm 69, I'm down about 200 pounds. Got low platelets. Don't know how to get my platelets up. I don't know if it's that serious.
It's hard to say. I can tell you categorically that when you have a surgical procedure on your stomach, a gastric bypass, much less so with the band that may tighten around the stomach to make you not eat much. But when you have a surgical procedure, you're certainly going to run into B12 and folic acid deficiency, which is one of the most common causes of low platelets or thrombocytopenia. Now, there are different types of anemias that could be from bad things like leukemia, but those you could pick up typically through a blood test. Bacterial infections can do it. Hereditary syndromes can do it. So We'd medications might create problems there, but we'd have to learn about those things and see exactly what the causes are for you. Now, because you've had stomach surgery twice, it's likely that the beautiful ruffled linings, of your stomach and your intestines have been disrupted, and your absorptive surface area has decreased a lot. So we may do B12 injectable. We may give you a D shot. We may do vitamin IVs. We may have to give you higher levels of vitamins so that if you're only absorbing 30 or 40% or whatever the number is, you'll get a better level. But we still have to test your vitamin levels. That's number one. That's like, abnormal blood test 101. We've got to check your vitamin levels to see what's going on.
Okay, and I have two other problems. I got very high oxalates in my urine. Went to a urologist and a kidney, so I got to stop the nuts and seeds and spinach and chocolate. So we're going to do a 24-hour urine test again in about 6 weeks. And the other thing is, I'm interested in, can stem cells reverse AFib? I've had AFib 3-4 years. I'm on metoprolol.
Yeah, I can tell you we've had a lot of patients who have AFib. And we had a lot of patients who've done stem cell intravenous for diabetes, for COPD, for liver, kidney, heart failure, lupus, rheumatoid. And the majority of them that have had AFib over the course of anywhere between 4 to 6 months have come back and say, my AFib is gone, and it hasn't come back. So I think it's possible, just like it's possible for stem cells intravenously to go to your heart, your lungs, your liver, your kidney, your pancreas, your intestines, anywhere blood flow goes, your brain, etc., your eyes, you can get benefit anywhere in your body. So it's just amazing to me that when we first started to see this, and I kept saying, wow, another patient whose AFib has stopped, another patient. And then the only thing that we could correlate that with was the stem cell therapy.
And the other question is, if I come out there on a Saturday for the complete blood workout, the 25 pages, can that all be done in one day?
Yeah, typically the way that I do it so that it's easy to start the process is when we do a consult. For most patients, they come in fasting anyway. Come in fasting, I'll take your history, write some notes, examine you, fill out a whole big page worth of comments of things that we want to look at, describing everything that you're experiencing. Do blood testing appropriate to that. If a person has allergies, we might recommend doing allergy testing. If you want to look at heavy metals, we can do the urine test for heavy metals as well, blood test. If you have cardiovascular history, we might be able to set you up for doing ultrasound testing, carotid, echo, transcranial, lower extremities. So it depends upon what you describe, and then we put together testing according to that. So, yeah, we typically do that on your first visit.
What are your hours on Saturday?
Saturday, the staff is there, I believe, from 9 o'clock. I get there at about 9:30 because I do the radio show first at home and then get to the office. So you can call the office, and the girls will go through all that for you.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Cal. Great. Have a good week.
Yes, you too. Look forward to seeing you. Have a good day now. So, yeah, we try to make it as easy to do these things as possible, and typically within about a week and a half, we have you back in the office to go over the testing. So some people need to go to a lab that their insurance participates with, of course, and that's what we do for everybody. Whatever your insurance requires, that's the lab that you go to. Some people do that blood work near where they live, and occasionally the lab will take a little bit of time to get the blood work back, but it's typically not difficult or a problem. So whatever your insurance requires is what we do for blood work. So if we can do it and the lab that we use commonly can do it, then great. If not, we give you a prescription. Go to whichever lab you can. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in now, ask a question, you could do so now. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. If you'd like to call in and tell me what your meal plan is and your exercise plan or what bothers you the most so we can talk about that, it'd be interesting to get some feedback on that. Let's go to Steve in Bohemia. Hi there. How are you?
Hello, doctor.
I'm
a 63-year-old man who has some shoulder issues. Okay. I have gone to an orthopedic doctor, and he gave me an MRI. It shows that there's three different small tears in the shoulder. It doesn't really bother me in my day-to-day thing. I'm not really looking to do surgery, but I play in a men's senior baseball league. I play in tournaments around the country.
Wow.
So I'd like to continue doing that if
baseball,
I can.
Baseball, not softball.
Baseball, yeah, real baseball.
Good for you. You still have your vision, I imagine.
Matter of fact, you saw one of my teammates.
Okay.
Back a couple months ago, I guess. And
okay.
He turned me to you.
Oh, okay.
And he had some injections in his Achilles, and he said that it worked very well. So
great.
I was hoping that maybe you had something. I know he did PRP, but I'm also interested in the stem cell, whatever.
Yeah, this is a great question because, do we want to look at PRP versus stem cells? Well, it depends upon the extent of wear and tear. It depends upon the joint. So if you have three different areas where you have tears, those little tears can extend significantly, from throwing the ball or pitching the ball or slipping and putting your arm out and trying to prevent you from hitting the ground. So if it's supraspinatus, infraspinatus, those are the most common areas, the cuff, the labrum. I don't know that PRP is going to be enough to create repair with those areas, again, until I see your MRI report. Typically, we opt to use stem cells because they colonize the area. You're putting billions of cells in that keep dividing, that create a growth mechanism that goes on over the course for a few years. So whereas PRP, and we've done that for many years, and other doctors have done that, will probably give you a stimulus for a month or so and then be used up. That's the best way to say it. A lot of people have done two or three PRP injections. All the baseball players used to do that, in the past 10 or so or 15 years, have done multiple treatments with PRP because it's not a long-lasting, continued repair mechanism as stem cells would be. Now, there are some people who want to do the PRP first and see how well it works. You certainly can do that. It's less expensive than the stem cells. But the question is, for those people, and again, I try to talk through the entire mechanism here, if you do the PRP and you feel a little bit better and you continue to play and you play your full-on game and you're not totally repaired and you tear it even further, then that's a problem. So we have to take all that in consideration. But there's a big difference between PRP and stem cell therapy in terms of its healing ability. And you can see some of the videos on PRP, and certainly I think there are 17 or 18 videos on stem cell therapy, so that can give you the ideas to the difference. PRP can never improve your brain, your eyes, your heart, your lungs, your liver, your kidney, your pancreas, but stem cells, of course, can, and you can hear patient stories that describe their results.
Okay.
So yeah, I'd have to see the MRI to really give you a true picture.
Yes. Is any of your anything covered by insurance?
PRP doesn't have a code, nor does stem cell. But for patients who are Medicare age, 65 and older, we participate with Medicare. So for those people that are Medicare, we bill Medicare for your visit. You're responsible for deductible, coinsurance, et cetera. And as I say, when you're doing blood work, you know, we send that to whatever lab your insurance, you know, dictates.
Yes. Okay. So, look into this first.
Great. Thank yeah, look at the videos on the website. You'll be amazed. It's drcal.net. All righty. Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye now. It's interesting because more and more lately we see people that are playing, you know, sports, and I have a great friend and know a lot of people that play softball. I don't even want to call it senior softball because I think labels are stupid. I don't like the term elderly either because if you look at medical research, you don't want to see what they typically will call elderly. So I have a lot of friends and I know people that are extremely active and they're doing some great, you know, heavy-duty activity well into their 60s, 70s, and some into their 80s. So I applaud them for doing that much activity and for keeping themselves fit. You know, it's a combination of doing a little bit of cardio. It could be walking, riding a bike. It could be playing tennis. It could be some weight training. I think the more different things that you do, the healthier your body will be. And this is documentable. This is provable. This is something that we see and have always seen. All the people that I've ever known who do the most exercise are the most fit and the healthiest and the happiest, and disease just passes them by because they're doing all the good things to keep their body healthy and strong. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you could do so right now. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222, and we'll get your questions up on the air. Let's see what else we have for interesting research. Interesting comments on folate supplementation for age-related hearing loss. Now, this is Department of Otorhinolaryngology, College of Medicine, University of London. So in a subject-based study, people that are 60 years of age or more, and I'm glad they didn't use the E word on that, they didn't use elderly, people that had hearing loss had significantly lower levels of serum folate than those who had better tone average and better hearing. And there has been an inverse associated relationship between serum folate and hearing threshold in the high frequencies. So again, another comment on why you need your vitamins and why you need to test them. A lot of people think, hey, I'm taking this or that, I should be fine. And I've heard it every single day, 6 days a week, really, for 30 years. I take this and that, I'm doing well. And I say, well, how much are you taking? And then we look at their homocysteine, it's high, so the B vitamins or the multi is not working. Or we look at C-reactive protein, that's high, or their vitamin D is low. There was a great comment, and where did I look at this? It was a comment from the Vitamin D Council, which is an international, worldwide group of researchers and physicians, PhDs, who do research on vitamin D. And they're talking about, and they're using this comment, you know, to attract other people to answer, are we currently amid a vitamin D deficiency pandemic? It seems that everywhere people are deficient in vitamin D. Overwhelmingly, when I see patients and we check their vitamin D all the time, their levels are somewhere in the teens and the 20s, not even in the 30s. Now, the blood test range for expected is between 30 and 100. Now, it's interesting that that range doesn't change as you get older. So with all the other vitamins or medications or rather hormones and such, you see the levels keep dropping over time. But such a random age, 30 to 100. And then studies in Europe, including from the Vitamin D Council, when they did a meta-analysis, talking about good levels, great levels of vitamin D, decreasing the risk of all cancers by 77%. So important to understand that you want to be in a great range for vitamin D, not in the low end, you know, range. So this is a great, you know, philosophical question, and it should be, you know, piquing the minds of patients and doctors to look at vitamin D levels at least 3 or 4 times a year. And of course, there are different populations that seem to have more vitamin D deficiency. Interestingly enough, the people who live in cold climates who are covered up with clothing, you know, they never really get much sun, so their vitamin D is even lower than average. So the more clothing you wear, whether it's, you know, warm or cold climate, the vitamin D deficiency is significant. Another interesting article on vitamin D deficiency and higher mortality risk in general population. Low vitamin D and risk of lung cancer. Low vitamin D and hormonal parameters. Bone degeneration occurs quicker with low levels of vitamin D. Vitamin D deficiency in diabetes. The list goes on and on and on. Bone fractures reduced with a minimum of 800 units of vitamin D. So there's a lot of information. You could look all day long at vitamin D research. If I were to get on, well, I'm not even going to go to regular Google because there's going to be a great deal more. Let me see what Google Scholar has for vitamin D, vitamin D research. Vitamin D deficiency. 2,160,000 citations on vitamin D deficiency. That's a lot. So I think that, you know, we're living in a world of information now, and you can get information just as I do. You may not understand every speck of the medical study or the abstract, but I put articles on my website for people to read about. So we have to keep our vitamins in the perfect range. We have to exercise. We have to eat right, eat organically, get rid of chemicals and such in foods, keep our hormones, keep everything our body requires there so the body can continue to function in a better way, a better ability. That's, again, documentable. This is easy to prove. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you could do so now. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Anna. Hi there. How are you?
Yes, doctor. I was wondering whether you had success with stem cells for Alzheimer's or emphysema.
Yeah, so you could look at my website. And obviously, I like to have people tell you their story. So there's a lovely lady in the top column, in the middle of the three columns, who had real difficulty with breathing, COPD, emphysema. She was unable to get out of her house to walk down the block to go shopping and such. And she'll tell you how much better she's done from one stem cell therapy, intravenous and a nebulized form going topically to the lungs to help to create repair. So we've seen that in many patients. This lovely lady was just so eloquent, and she saw my previous videos, and she wanted to do her video, so we put her there. So I think the results can be pretty significant for that. As well, there's a gentleman right below her who had significant issues with dementia, and his son would ask him questions, and he couldn't remember 5-10 minutes later, even a minute later, the question he asked him or the thing he asked him to memorize. And, you know, the son and the wife were watching him decline over time. He also had a drop foot because I think something in the brain was decreasing some of the electrical flow to his foot. And he has some pretty spectacular results. And he tells you now he can chase around his son's dog as a result of that one therapy, intravenous, and then a nasal approach, allowing it to drip into the back of the nasal cavity when you're lying down to get into the brain. So also, you can scroll down to the bottom of the website and look at the article section. There are 2,000 articles there. Now, over the past 4 or 5 years, the articles are primarily on stem cell therapy for all the things that we've seen literature on, whether it's Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, MS, stroke, lupus, rheumatoid, liver, kidney, heart failure, diabetes, erectile dysfunction. So you could look at those articles. It's easier for you to do that than to try to look up and use multiple search terms, you know, as I have done. In other words, if I want to see research on Alzheimer's, I'll put Alzheimer's and bone marrow stem cell therapy, or autologous bone marrow stem cell therapy, and Alzheimer's disease or dementia. So you have to search in a variety of ways to get a lot of different studies. But of course, you can do that, but it make it easier for you putting that on the website. So yes, is the sort of short answer to the question. We've seen some pretty great results. Also, for those people who want to correct their vitamins, minerals, hormones, we won't forget that.
And what is the general number of treatments that they would have to get?
It depends. For most people, it's one treatment. There's only a few patients we've seen over the course of a few years where they wanted to do a second treatment, although they did have improvement with the first treatment. Let's say they got 50 or 60 or 70% improvement. They want to do it again. We don't have that many people doing a second treatment. So I think that the majority of people do very well with one treatment. That's based on statistics.
Pretty much.
So, yeah, take a look at the website. It's drcal.net, drcal.net. A lot of information there. And you can see the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 18 articles, 19 videos on stem cells right down the center as well. So there's a lot to look at, a lot to, you know, listen to, and I think you should. It just shows you how your own cells have this spectacular capacity of repairing your body. And many years of research, you know, documents that. Alrighty.
Information. Bye.
Great. Thank you so much for your call. Okay, let's go next to Mike in Jersey City. How are you?
Good, doctor. How are you? Great. Actually, I didn't complete the information he told me the other day, which is shutting off immediately. Polymyalgia rheumatica, the only treatment is cortisone, or?
Well, no. I think we have to find out why a person has multiple areas of muscle aches and pains. We have to look at autoimmune causes, maybe heavy metal. Certain things will trigger your body to become inflamed or to even to attack itself, like viruses or infections. So we have to look at the entire mechanism. If you have high rheumatoid factor, then a person can have a variant of rheumatoid arthritis. And in that realm, stem cell therapy can work extremely well because you're using your own cells to shut down the inflammatory cascade and to repair tissues that have damage. And you could look at those the articles at the bottom of my website. You can put in rheumatoid and see stem cell therapy research articles. So you can obviously get a read on those things. But we had to figure out exactly what's causing your problems. I don't just say fibromyalgia or polymyalgia. I need to really see what's behind it.
The blood analysis that you ask for, usually ask for a very, very comprehensive blood analysis. Is that covered by the insurance?
Of course, yeah, of course. Yeah, because whatever lab your insurance requires you go to, you go to. We'll just make recommendations based upon the comments you're making, what your symptoms are, what you're telling me, your history, and your physical exam. We put together the blood test based upon that.
Because you asked for vitamins and things like you have a lot of extensive blood analysis.
Well, yeah, we're looking at vitamins. Nobody really does, all the vitamins. We're looking at heavy metals through blood and urine. Nobody really does. But I can show you tons of articles where, and the list of articles on heavy metals causing different disease is extremely long. You know, it would take you a long time to look up every heavy metal, but you could look at 206 articles that really cover just about all the bases and tell you what heavy metals do to your body. That's on the website. So,
stem cell can help the rheumatic. I mean, because actually, I'm a physical therapist myself. I diagnosed myself, and all the symptoms actually in the Google or any other research, it's actually on me. I never had it only 2 months ago. That's all.
Something's triggering your body to have these symptoms. All I'm saying is there may be something there that other doctors have not found or seen. I've seen people who are told they had fibromyalgia or PMR and have had Lyme disease because the testing wasn't done, you know, either frequently enough, because sometimes the first blood test is negative and a person could still have it, just the antibodies are not showing up in the blood at that time. Sometimes the creature goes inside your cells. So there are a variety of different things that could be there that other doctors are not looking for.
All right. Thank you so much.
All righty. Thank you for the call. Look forward to seeing you. Take a look at the website, drcal.net, and give us a call at the office, 516-794-0404. Okay, let's go next to Rita in Manhattan. Hi, how are you?
Hi. I want to ask you, yes. Multiple myeloma, have you ever used stem cells for it? And
No, I haven't because I'm not an oncologist. And only an oncologist in the hospital can take a patient with multiple myeloma, put them in the hospital for a period of time, it could be a while, extract the stem cells in a similar fashion, spin them, they give you chemo and radiation, and then they give you the stem cells back to grow a whole new immune response. So,
but you
yeah, I'm not an oncologist, so I can't do the hospital or cancer-based stem cell therapy.
Nutritional program for multiple myeloma that you...
I don't believe there's a nutritional program that can change multiple myeloma, because remember, it's a significant mutation, degeneration of cancer cells, plasma cells, which are white blood cells. So I don't think there's a nutritional recommendation that can make a significant change within that. And now, again, I am not a cancer doctor. The doctor that I think that's got the greatest results with cancers anywhere in the world is Dr. James Forsyth in Reno, Nevada. I've seen his list, and I've spoken to his patients with stage 4 cancers, and they live a very long time. And some of them, even though the cancer is there, it's sort of in control so the patients can live. So unfortunately, when you look at some of the research on the 5-year survival rate with just chemo, the statistics are not good. They're 2.1%. So that's why we refer cancer patients to doctor like Dr. Forsyth. So that's his specialty. And there's a whole world of information that, you know, goes along with that specialty.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
All righty. Thank you so much for your call. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in, do so now. 1-800-848-WABC. Don't wait for the end of the program. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Jennifer in the Bronx. How are you?
Hello, doctor. My right foot has been numb since 2004 when I had a spinal stenosis flare-up. Can stem cell or anything help? Because they told me it'll never go back to normal.
See, that's hard to say. I don't know exactly. Did they do surgery of your back, or you just had a spinal stenosis and nothing was done?
I had a spinal stenosis. They gave me those shots.
Steroid shots.
And they gave me 3, and I was okay. I had an operation after that.
All right, but, so you did have surgery on your back.
No. I had lung cancer, and they wouldn't do it until I could walk.
Okay.
But now I have this problem with my right foot, and it bothers me.
Well, if you didn't hurt your foot, then it's likely that it might be coming from the pressure of the nerve that goes down to your foot from your low back. So it may still be a back issue. For some people that have a chronic back problem, we may recommend prolotherapy. We may recommend platelet-rich plasma therapy to try to repair and stabilize ligaments. We may do some traction. I'd have to see the MRI of your low back and a nerve conduction study, because the nerve conduction test tells us if the numbness in your foot is coming from your low back, because then you'd have to try to improve what's happening in your back.
For nerve conduction?
A nerve conduction test, yeah, would tell us if the nerve in your low back is causing it in your foot.
Is there another name for that? Because I've had a nerve, I don't know.
Oh, nerve conduction velocity, NCV.
No.
It's a nerve conduction test. You had an EMG with the needles?
No, I had something. Anyhow, so you think it's a possibility that my back is still bad, and that's what...
Yes.
So, and you can just help me with my back?
Yeah, I'd like to be able to see what your MRI shows at this point. I'd like to see what the nerve conduction test shows, and then give you an idea as to what might be able to help. I mean, I don't know until I see. So, I don't know if there are other doctors out there saying, oh, do this, do that. I mean, I never say do this, do that, unless we have a clear picture of what's going on. I mean, I wouldn't want to steer you the wrong way. So I'd rather look at your MRI of your back, look at the nerve conduction test. You can get those done by your local doctors and then bring those in so I can see, you know, how we might be able to help you.
A couple of, but it must be 2 or 3 years since I had the last MRI. But I have a couple of films.
Well, show me the most recent MRI report. I need the documentation, the report that they dictate. So I knew there was two words I was trying to put together. I need the report that the doctor dictates that's in a paragraph that shows me everything about your low back. So the MRI report is what you need. You have that faxed over to me.
I have that, yes. And I can fax it.
Yeah, fax that over to the office. Come in so we can go over that and get me the nerve conduction test so we can see what we're dealing with.
I haven't had a nerve conduction. Where do I get that?
Well, typically a neurologist would do that.
Neurologist.
Yeah, because that tells you where the nerve is being affected.
Do you know a neurologist near the around the Bronx?
In the Bronx?
Or Manhattan?
No. But who's your primary? I mean, you don't have to say his name, but ask your primary care doctor for the neurologist that he's been recommending for years, and he'll tell you someone that should be right around the corner from you.
That's a possibility, but I also am near Westchester.
I don't know anybody outside of the local area that I'm in, so yeah, you need to just ask your primary care who he recommends for as a neurologist. Even, you know, the receptionist at your primary care's office should be able to tell you that.
And then what am I asking for? What kind
of... A nerve conduction test.
Nerve conduction. Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. Have a good day. Thank you for your call. 1-800-848-WABC. Call and ask a question right now. 1-800-848-9222. If you'd like to call, do so now. Don't wait for the end of the program. Let's go to Lee in Netcong, New Jersey.
Hi, doctor.
Yes.
This is Lee from Morris County, Netcong. I'm calling for a friend, actually. She was on a statin drug, and now she's using a walker. She actually she has to use a walker. She's been injured by a statin drug.
Wow.
And she has necrotizing myopathy.
Oh, boy.
Necrotizing myopathy. They want to... She's been on prednisone since... She's been off the statin since July. I need your help, please. She's been off the statin since July. She's on prednisone.
Well, the statins typically wipe out your CoQ10, so one of the first things, you know, you're going to hear me say a million times over is that we've got to test your vitamins and minerals right off the bat. I would try to get the CoQ10 back on board. You know, I'd want to see what's going on. Is the statin the only thing that could have affected her muscles? Maybe, maybe not. You know, I would look for heavy metals as well. What if there's two or three things that were working in concert to create the straw that broke the camel's back and she's got, you know, the myopathy?
Right, right. So, she's on prednisone now, and they want to give her, infuse her with antibiotics intravenously. That's what they want to do next. I wonder, do you think...
Antibiotics or antibodies? You mean gamma globulin?
You know, I'm not sure, really. I just know that it's antibodies, I believe, intravenously. Well,
gamma globulin might be something that they would use to decrease an inflammatory cascade. But again, you have to speak to her, write down everything that she's going through. Certainly have her call the office. We'd love to help her out. There also might be a place for stem cell therapy to repair damaged tissue in this case, because we know that studies on stem cell therapy for liver, kidney, heart failure, diabetes, COPD, erectile dysfunction, MS, lupus, Parkinson's, stroke, we know stem cells can repair damage in any, virtually any organ or tissue of your body. And we've done stem cell therapy injected into muscles that have torn to help to repair. So that might be the ideal option. But again, I know nothing about her yet, so get me copies of information or copies of tests so we can start to look at this and work on it.
I just wanted to mention, since I am talking, I guess, to you and also to other people, obviously, that the statin, supposedly, it actually made her muscles deteriorate.
And, yeah, because and as I mentioned before, it's wiping out CoQ10, because the statins work in a pathway to block your own cholesterol production, but they block off that area that allows CoQ10 to be made. So they're really depleting your body in CoQ10. That's why they cause the damage.
Wow. I guess statins really are quite dangerous.
They can be, of course. So we don't we don't recommend them. We don't like using them.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, God bless you. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you. You're very kind. Merry Christmas as well. Thank you so much. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you could do so right now. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Let's see what else we have for interesting comments. CoQ10, possible role in breast cancer treatment. Now, for many years, researchers have been using CoQ10 because it's a great antioxidant. All the nutritionally savvy doctors will talk about CoQ10 helping with patients' immune response. This is a nutrition journal. Talks about, you know, using CoQ10 to helping enhance immune response, N-acetylcysteine. It helped to reduce matrix metalloproteinase 2, which is an inflammatory marker. So this present study highlights the significance of CoQ10's effect on cell invasion metastasis effector molecules that allow cancer to progress. And there may be benefit with vitamin C. There's research on that in traditional medicine. So important to understand all the nutritional research that's out there. And this is why for so many years, I've been getting on the computer, looking at this, putting the articles on the website, etc. Low levels of CoQ10 found in patients with COPD. Now, these articles always make me think that vitamin deficiency allows your body to degenerate and maybe age faster than it should, especially when you see vitamin correction and how well people will do otherwise. So this is a study on people that have COPD, and there are people who are healthy in the study, and there were smokers in the study. And the people that had COPD had the lowest levels of CoQ10. They had the lowest forced vital capacity, FEV1, ability to move air in and out, higher C-reactive protein, higher SED rate. So they're thinking that the antioxidants effects of the CoQ10 can be significantly important in these individuals, just as it would be in any individual. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go next to Bill in Chestnut Ridge. How are you?
I'm doing okay, doctor. I had Lyme disease for a year and a half, and then we found out from a neurologist and an infectious disease doctor that there was something else going on. Did four MRIs, and I was diagnosed with MS. MS back in June.
Okay.
I was wondering if you have, is there any other kind of treatment? I'm taking Ampyra tablet daily, and I'm going for Ocrevus.
Are you getting any benefit with those therapies?
No, I seem to be getting worse, to tell you the
okay,
truth.
So look at my website, and you'll see two patients that have MS, where we did stem cell therapy. If you look at the website, there are three columns. The top column, you can't miss it, is a gentleman in a pink shirt. He tells his story. There's another lovely lady who's in the same column further down, and she talks about her results. So I think there's ample research, you know, worldwide. If you get on scholar.google and look up, you know, autologous, your own bone marrow stem cell therapy for MS, Parkinson's, stroke, Alzheimer's, COPD, diabetes, erectile dysfunction, liver, kidney, heart failure, lupus, rheumatoid, many, many things, pulmonary fibrosis. And the literature is there, and it's only your cells coming out if your bone marrow, and a very quick procedure takes about a minute to do that. We numb the area, sterilize it so it doesn't hurt. We put the cells in a centrifuge, spin them, and put them back into your body to create repair.
Wow.
That's the only true natural therapy in the world, because they're your cells in your body coming out and back in your body. We can't change them. We can't add any medications or do anything to it. We take them out, spin it, and put them back in.
That's great.
I think it's the greatest scientific, you know, invention in the history of health and science.
Wow. So I can just look up stem cell and
No, just go to my website, because if you look up stem cells in MS, there'll be 5 million articles. And you won't know where to look first. Now, you don't want stem cell therapy from, God forbid, an aborted fetus, or you don't want it from amniotic or placental or umbilical cord. You want your stem cells from your body out and back in your body within, you know, the hour, even the half hour. So look at my website first. It'll save you looking, you know, at a ton of information, you know, kind of dragging you all over the place. Besides those two videos where the patients tell their story, and the gentleman was in a wheelchair for years and couldn't move his right arm and his right leg, the next morning after he did stem cell therapy, he was able to pour coffee and milk in his coffee for himself and his wife. He didn't realize he was able to do that until his wife pointed it out. So, pretty dramatic result. At the bottom of my website are 2,000 articles. The last couple of years' worth are all about stem cell therapy for all the diseases. So, you can see a lot of stem cell therapy articles within the 2000 on MS. So it just makes it easier for you to search.
Right. So what is your website? I listened to only a little bit of the program.
Yeah,
so
drcal.net, www.drcal.net.
Excellent. Thank you so much, and have a good
Thank
holiday.
You very much for your call. You too. Let's go to Joel in Teaneck, New Jersey.
Hello, Dr. Calipay.
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. And thank you for taking my call and everyone else's call. You're
welcome.
You're a wonderful guy.
Thank you. That's what I'm here for. Just give you some great info and, you know, get you to be healthier, you know, get you better.
I'm looking forward to that. I'm calling for a friend, though, Doc, and they have problems with their myelin sheath going into the base of their skull. that's been deteriorated. They're in the dental profession, which, and I've been trying to get them to go for chelation, because there's got to be some heavy metal in there. Because
You'd have to bet that there's some heavy metal disorder, creating some of that damage. But for myelin sheath degeneration, just as the patient before that called in about MS, that's what MS is based upon: demyelination of the nerves in the brain. So,
yes.
In a perfect world, using your own cells to repair your own body's damage makes all the sense in the world, and that's why stem cell therapy has been so heavily researched for neurologic disorders over many, many years.
Okay. Then I've got to chase them to see if I can go over to Long Island to see you.
Yeah, of course. And first have him take a look at my website, because I would love for him to see both the videos of patients that are, were horribly affected, couldn't get out of a wheelchair for Parkinson's, as well a gentleman with MS who couldn't move the right side of his body. So there are a lot of great articles there, and people will tell their story. And certainly that would be a shock for him to see, results like that, but that's what can happen with your own cells repairing your body. And then certainly have him give us a call and come in. We'd love to help him out.
Yeah, I think
there are no real drugs for this sort of thing, Not that there should be, but drugs don't make you grow new cells on the coating of your nerves. Whenever you've seen someone take a light switch apart or an outlet, and you've got wires, and the wires are black and white rubber coating on, copper wires, the copper wire is like your nerve, and the sheath is the coating on the wire. So it's chewed off, it's damaged, so you want new cells to go there and become those cells, and that's what stem cell therapy does.
Okay, because they're treating him now for I think, MS, and they're giving him once a month he gets a...
We have MS patients on the website, videos that'll tell you exactly how they respond. As a matter of fact, the first video, and there are three columns, and the gentleman in the pink shirt tells an amazing story.
Okay. Very good. I will get him to your website, hopefully, and try to...
Great. We'd love to help him out. That's what we're here for. Thank you so much for your call.
And
happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy New Year. We're a little far away from New Year's yet, but...
Getting there.
Thank you so much for your call.
You're welcome, sir. Thank you very much.
All righty. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in, you could do so right now. Let's go next to Mike. Hi there. How are you?
Hi, Doc.
Yes.
Should I say St. Calipay?
You're the Mike that keeps making me laugh. I know who you are now.
Well, I got another name for you, Sherlock, but I don't know. Because you have the Sherlock Holmes had nothing on you.
He had the pipe. I don't have the pipe, yeah.
Well, I'll get you a fake pipe, one of those toy pipes. You can have that. Okay, question. I'm 64 and a half, 65. We've already got notification about Medicaid, which would make it a lot easier for me to, submit the bills, especially if I'm going to do stem
right.
cell or whatever. And even those blood tests being as incredibly detailed as they are. But now, the question is, you said SED rate.
Yeah.
Which I understood that to meaning sedimentary.
Yeah, yeah.
Sedimentary.
It's ESR, erythrocyte sedimentation rate.
Okay.
Medicine is full of abbreviations.
Right.
And ESR, SED rate, yeah.
Yeah, I could understand that. Everything's full of abbreviations.
My
father, if he was still alive, I would have loved to have brought him to you, because he suffered. They went up to Lake George, my mother and father, 20 years ago, and they got destroyed by those little black flies. And my mother had the back of her neck looked like, I can't describe it. It was so big. It looked like a horror movie. My father got it in the hands. They bit the hell out of him.
Yeah.
And his hands swole up like balloons. And he went to the doctor, and he was on, the last years of his life, he was on prednisone. At first it was a high dose. Then it went down to, I think, like 10. And he suffered immensely. And the SED rate, and he was crippled from it. Now, I'm doing the same swings and arrows. It was my body. I'm the one with the polycystic kidney disease, and the last time I had a report, calcium, there was an issue with the calcium, and I'm getting I feel like walking dead. And
yeah, the set rate is a general marker, remember. It doesn't say, oh, it's only this. It can be a variety of things that raise the set rate and a variety of things that raise the regular C-reactive protein, but the high-sensitive C-reactive protein is more of a cardiac marker. So, yeah, it's just like saying you have pain or fatigue or arthritis. We have to really define what's behind the scenes allowing that to exist. I mean, as you know.
Patient term. Okay, it's general. Anything could be causing that pain. It's just...
Yeah, I mean, there are a variety of things that can cause inflammation in your body, and inflammation can be looked at in different ways. You know, so it's sort of, as you say, you know, you got to be a detective to say, we see a little of this, a little of that. Let's keep looking. Let's check for this. Let's check for the other thing. And that's how you come up with what I call a working diagnosis, because the diagnosis is never made by, one test. Unless, of course, it's an extremely high blood sugar level that's fasting. You know, you could say a person's diabetic, but we have to look at all the things that are underlying that, abnormal test or the symptoms you may have.
Yeah, no, I understand that. It's like dealing with years ago, a positive. There's only one thing worse than a false positive, and that's a false negative. Oh, you're fine. 3 weeks later, you're dead.
As funny as you bring that up, we have a lot of people that do allergy testing through blood or scratch or prick test, and the blood test comes back negative, but then the IgE antibody's high. And I say, you're allergic, and they say, no, the doctor said I'm not because the test was negative. I said, the amount of blood that came through the needle into the tube in 3 seconds was negative because it didn't show antibodies, but it doesn't mean you don't have antibodies elsewhere in your body that you're just not showing up in that, tube. So blood cannot be used as a definitive word on allergy. Neither can a scratch or prick test on your forearm or your back, because by all standards, there are false negatives with those scratch or prick tests. You're negative, but you never got the allergen in contact with the antibody. That's why we do the gold standard, which is the intradermal test up near your shoulder, your upper arm, and you put a couple of different doses on to see if your body reacts to different doses. That's much more accurate than one random tiny dose. What if a person's allergic to something, but you put such a low dose on a scratch or prick test that it doesn't react? But then if you were to take a 3 times stronger dose, you'd see a reaction. So that's why you have to do the better technique of testing and sometimes check different strengths of allergen.
In my lifetime, I'd rather have a false positive where you check it out and say, no, it was a mistake. The false negative, because people let their guard down. Oh, no, you've got nothing wrong with you. False negatives kill.
It happens.
A severe habit of killing.
That's why we have to take a variety of these things into consideration and check and double check and recheck,
I'm coming to see you, Dr. Sherlock Calipay.
Great. Look forward to seeing you.
All right.
I'll recognize you by your voice.
Of course you would. You don't want to recognize me by my face. You're better off with my voice.
Thank you so much. Have a great day. Thank you so much for your call. We've got a couple of moments left to take some calls here. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you could do so now. Let's see what else we have that's interesting on our literature. Let's see. Well, L-carnitine reduces inflammation in patients that are diabetic and obese. Okay, well, that's good. Well, again, cutting carbs, doing some exercise, correcting vitamins, minerals, and hormones, it's everything. It's not just one thing. But I like the fact that they're looking at this research. The vitamin C supplementation may benefit patients undergoing myocardial revascularization surgery. So the role of ascorbic acid in the prevention of AFib after myocardial revascularization surgery. Pretty interesting stuff. That's the Cardiovascular Thoracic Surgery Journal. Heavy-duty stuff. So they're looking at patients who are having coronary artery bypass graft, various cardiac procedures, and vitamin C decreased the incidence of atrial fibrillation. Brilliant. Important to know that. So this is why we look at vitamin research. This is why we take this into consideration when we correct your vitamin and mineral levels. Probiotics may enhance gut barrier function and improve immunity in infants with atopic dermatitis. Great. So more great information. So once again, friends, thank you for listening. God bless you all. Have an amazing day. I'll be back live again on Saturday, 8 to 9 a.m. on the amazing WABC. The website's www.drcal.net. And the office is 516-794-0404. Bye-bye now.